I'm standing before you to share what has been touching my life through the week. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We will read 24 to 30, and then down there, 36 to 46. And then we shall skip there. We shall go to the next parable. I'll be preaching on parables this morning. If we're there, let's go to 24. It's 24 to 30. The Bible says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. Let's go to verses 36 to 46. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and asked, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's skip there, go to verse 47 to the end. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this word. We pray that you cause me to speak all that I should speak in Jesus' name for your glory. And also help your people to internalize what you have for them, to pick what you want them to pick, and use in life for your glory. Bless us together, even as you send your Holy Spirit to minister unto each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This year is a year of, it's the Lord's season for harvest. It's a year of emphasizing. Yeah, it's a year of emphasizing the need for preaching the gospel, for sharing the good news to the people around us, to the people in this planet Earth. So far, we know that it is only on Earth where people live. It's only in this planet Earth where people live and need the good news from here to heaven. We have a mandate of preaching the good news. This is what brought Jesus Christ here on Earth. He came for nothing else. He came not to seek anything, not glory, because he had superior, surpassing glory in heaven. He had all the worship. He had all the good things that you can mention. But he came down to save us. He came to save us. He was lacking nothing. It is his love that brought him here on earth to get us all, to get everybody out there, to see to it that we come back to our God. And now, while doing ministry, he shared, when he started ministry, he shared about the kingdom of God and how people could access the kingdom. He shared the nature of the kingdom. He shared the nature of the people to inherit the kingdom. But also he shared the opposition. He shared the nature of the opposition of the kingdom, the antagonism around the kingdom. He shared it all so that we are aware of everything and therefore be able to inherit the kingdom. He also promised to equip us for the same. Now, while preaching and teaching, sometimes he could preach using parables and examples and illustrations. Here, if you read this whole chapter and the other chapters following and chapters before, you will see Jesus, and the chapter before, Jesus is concerned with the kingdom of God. The dynamics of the kingdom of God. And here we have just read two parables, which he used to explain the kingdom of God. The first parable, here we are going to look at two parables. The first parable is the parable of the weeds. People call it the parable of the weeds, but I could say the parable of the wheat and the weed. The wheat and the weeds. But the second parable is that parable of the net, of the fishing. What are parables? Parables are illustrations. Parables are symbols. Parables are used to amplify the meaning of something that is being communicated. With parables, you can understand better and relate yourself with that teaching easily. It uses, a parable uses the common practices of the people. Like there is a parable of the lost son, the parable of the lost sheep, because people used to practice keeping the sheep, and sheep used to get lost, and all that. There is this parable of the nets, people were fishers. The parable of the seeds, people were agriculturists, people were practicing agriculture. So he uses the language so that they can easily get the truth of the kingdom using their simple life, their simple practices. Now I want us to take some moments on these two parables. Before I go further, I've entitled my message as this: what is your kingdom symbol? What is your kingdom symbol? You know, these parables, have spoken symbolically to us. Now, what is your symbol in the kingdom of God? As we read these parables, do you have, is there any symbol that you relate with? Can you relate yourself with any of these symbols here? Praise the Lord. So I want to give you some work this morning of relating yourself to these symbols. Parable of the weeds. The wheat and the weeds. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Is like. The kingdom of God is like. So don't consider this parable as just a parable, but it's illustrating the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like. This man went to his field and planted good seed. And this good seed started growing. As the seed was growing, we are told that an enemy also went in that field and planted his seed, which was not a good seed. They're called weeds. Those who have done agriculture or gardening, you know what weeds are. These days, we have chemicals we use to destroy the weeds. We call them herbicides. These herbicides, they are prepared to destroy any other plant that's not the plant we planted. You just spray them in your field, the plant you planted will remain, but the seeds will all die. At least that reduces the risk of the problem of the weeds. In our places there are people who grow rice. When you plant rice, there are some other weeds very alike to rice. They also grow in. And these weeds, they have a problem of striving with these other good plants. They try their best also to get the nutrients that you expect to be used by your plants. So the weeds are very dangerous to the plants that we plant because they weaken. The weeds weaken the plants that we intended to plant. They are not intended in that field. And once they start growing with the plants, they weaken them because they share the nutrients. And if you don't go weeding, if you don't do the weeding, with time, you'll have weak plants and very low harvest. Very, very low harvest. So you need to deal with the weeds if you are to get maximum harvest. But also, the weeds, finally, they are destroyed. According to this parable, they are destroyed because we don't need them. In our general practice, we devise a mechanism of weeding and destroying the weeds. In our underdeveloped countries, we do it manually. You go into your field and you uproot all the weeds manually. You pull them out. You pull them out until you are done away with these weeds and you destroy them and they become fertilizers in turn. So the weeds eventually are destroyed. According to the parable, when the servants saw the weeds growing together with the wheat, the good seed, they said, Master, what is this? In the field, we have found some weeds. Should we uproot them? The master said, don't do that. Leave them. According to the kingdom principle, leave them. And I was really astonished with this phrase. Let them grow together. Let them grow together. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, let us grow together. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, left and right, let us grow together. The kingdom of God is like, let us grow together. Let us grow together. This morning, I tell you, let us grow together. You know what I'm implying? You know what the parable implies? It implies the good and the bad will grow together. That's the kingdom principle. The kingdom principle is not to uproot. It says, if you uproot, in the process of uprooting this bad seed, you might uproot the good seed. So just leave them. Let them grow together. Time is coming. Praise the Lord. What is coming? Time is coming. When everything will be ready to be separated and put to their places, to their right places. The good seed shall be kept in a good place, in the granary, in the store. And the bad seed, the weeds, they'll be removed, tied in bundles, and set on fire. These days, they are not really, for some people, proper days of preaching this. But it was proper for Jesus to preach. Now tell me who is wiser than the other. You contemporary generation, or Jesus? Jesus has a series of similar preachings and teachings. If you go ahead, you find there is a parable of the goat and the sheep. Now this morning, why are we emphasizing this? Today, we are emphasizing that you set yourself and know what you represent in the kingdom. You can write if you are writing, write like this. What do I represent in the kingdom? The good seed or the weed? Just that. That's the message of today. I don't have much to tell you. For me, it touched me. It did its job to my life. Do you allow this message to do its job in your life? You need to know what you represent in the kingdom. And you need to know. Jesus was simple and he was speaking in a simple way. And he asks them, do you understand the things I'm telling you? The good seed and the weed. He says, he decided to clarify. Let us see the clarification. The clarification of these important aspects. 36 to 46. Very clearly put, 36 to 46. He said, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field, you know. He is now explaining to the disciples. Initially, it was a big crowd of the people. He speaks and he leaves. But the disciples had the privilege to sit with him. If they did not understand, they could ask for clarification. And they say, please, sir, master, rabbi, explain. Explain that parable. We did not understand clearly. And they say, oh, wow, I will explain. This is what he explained. The one, verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. This morning we are told it is the Son of Man who sowed the good seed. Jesus, whatever Jesus spoke is pure and perfect. We preachers, we interpret. And I want to stand as a humble man of God, that I'm just a preacher and interpreter of the word of God. I might make mistakes. I might make mistakes when I'm interpreting. And that's why I challenge you to go back, read again and again, and get time to discuss with others the word of God. Pray to the Holy Spirit to explain more the details. Whatever Jesus spoke is perfect. That's why we should not rally ourselves around certain people, but we should rally ourselves around the word of God. It is the word of God that is very perfect. If any man of God, so-called man of God, goes wrong, we should challenge them. Tell them you are wrong. Here you are wrong. Man of God or woman of God, this is, I don't agree with you. Let me speak something very hard. One man of God I respect. Great man of God. I respect him. He was my friend. He helped me a lot. But one day he speaks something that is contrary to the word of God. I told him to his face, I don't agree with you. And then he insisted. You know what he said? He said, when a man of God does wrong, no matter what it is, whether it is adultery, you should not correct him. I told him, you are wrong and you are a false prophet. He was seated in my office. And he was running a seminar. Right here, I told him, I don't think I'm going even to attend your seminar. I told him like that. He's a big man, but I told him fearlessly, because I know the word of God. I know it. You cannot cheat me. So we do interpretation. We interpret. Generations, from generation to generation, we keep interpreting the meaning and the word of God. This was the work of the teachers, the work of the preachers. It is to interpret the word of God to the people. But you should also not just get seated and swallowing everything without. The Bible says you should be checking, analyzing, and seeing whether this is true or not. Some of the preachers today, they threaten us. When the man of God is speaking, just receive, just receive. Please check if I'm speaking the truth. And if I'm not preaching to you the truth, tell me no, I don't receive that. Said the kingdom of God is life. So he said, it's the Son of Man who sowed the truth, the good seed. And then he goes on to elaborate. Then he goes on to make it clear. He said, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. You see, the good seed, they stand for the kingdom in this parable. I mean, the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom. The world, let me finish first. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are the angels. You see those elements? Those categories? It says, the field is the world. But the world is filled with a good seed. That's the children of the kingdom. Men and women, you people here. Those who are born again, those who love the Lord. They fill this world. They're everywhere scattered. They are from the Son of God.
born of the Spirit of God, not by the will of the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. And Jesus prayed and said, Lord, I pray that you keep these people in this world with unity. I'm not praying that you take them away. No, let them stay in the world so they can be my testimony. They can be a seed that will bear fruit all over. They'll transform this world. They'll bring in harvest. Keep them there. But he says, the weeds, the unwanted plants, they are, I dislike this, but that's what it is. They are the sons of the evil one. They are children of the evil one. We are seated here. We have filled this place. And we are scattered all over Dar es Salaam. We are scattered all over Tanzania as children of God. We are everywhere. But also, along with us, and close to us, close proximity, with us, to us, close to us, we have the sons and children of the evil one, you can see. The plants, the good seed, the wheat, when they are penetrating their roots down to absorb the nutrients, the weeds are also there, pushing in the roots and struggling to share the same. They're right there. And that's why he says, don't uproot them there. In the course of uprooting these bad plants, you might uproot the good ones, because they are mingled. They are in close proximity, very close, very, very close. Sometimes they don't even know that this guy, this man, this woman, this one is a child of the evil one. I'm sorry, I don't want to talk that, but Jesus spoke it. Let me speak for Jesus. The son, the child of the evil one, close to you, very dangerous, very terrible. And we pretend we don't want to understand this fact. This morning, I came to let you know that in your close proximity, very close to you, very, very, very close to you, there are these other children of the evil one. And that's why now the Bible tells us to live wisely, right? Be wise the way you conduct yourselves in this world. The days are evil. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. How do you live? How do you live in close proximity with these people who are the children, oh my God, the children of the devil? Now, see the principle. How do we become children of God? When we receive the word of Christ. We are born again. We become children of the kingdom, the children of God. And how people become the children of the evil one? When they receive the words of the evil one. When they serve, they do the works of the evil one. When they practice the purposes of the evil one. So they represent that kingdom. This morning, I ask us again, what symbol symbolizes you? Are you good wheat, good seed, or the weeds? That I live with you. And actually, the Bible says it will go up to the last day. The last day. You can affect your neighbor. You can affect the people around you. How can you affect them? Because you are so close. You can start a meeting. The divine influence. You can start releasing the divine power. that is within you. You can start conquering all the people around you by the influence of the word of God, because it is just so powerful. Do that. We are very close to these people. Very close to these people. It's very unfortunate now when it comes to this harvest season, and the people think that everybody they find in church is their role model. I am very sorry this morning to say not everybody should be your role model.
Praise the Lord. You hear me? New believers, those who got saved recently, you got saved last year, you got saved last week, you got saved two years ago. Don't always take for granted that everybody you found in church is your role model. Some of them, they are weeds. You hear me? Jamani, mnanisikia? Some of them are weeds. And you may think, oh, this is the person I found in the church. He's the person who the pastor always calls, come and pray. He's the person who always collects the money in front there. You know, you can't touch the holy things if you are not holy. My brothers, my sisters, some guys are unholy. And they touch the holy things. Woe unto you. I'm speaking with authority because I have lived in Christ for some time. So I know. There are some guys who are not even afraid. They will open the scriptures and stand before you here and preach. And you say, preach it, my brother. But actually, they are weeds. And I know a number of them, not to count even. So, take enough time with the word of God so you can be able to measure who is who. So that you can be able to live a victorious life, a life that pleases God, a life that represents kingdom children. I don't care how much you say, praise the Lord. There were those days, greetings, we stopped saying shikamo here in Tanzania. Bwana sifiwe. It's just a praise the Lord. Everybody's saying praise the Lord. Some guys, they are telling you praise the Lord. They are just wicked. You know they are quite wicked, but they're saying praise the Lord and they finished the greeting. Praise the Lord is not even a measure. A measure is how do you live? Do you represent the weeds or a good seed? Before time is gone, let me also go to the next parable. It was a concern of Jesus. He again said in verses 47 to 52. It was a concern of Jesus about this life of the kingdom. You live a life in two worlds. It's not easy. So he did his best in a perfect way to explain to us how things are like. This is how things are like. He says, again, let's go to verse 47. Once again, you look here. He says, once again. Once again, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Once again. Jamani, ngonjani wambie tena. Yani mambo haya, these things, you know, they are very, very complicated. Once again, the kingdom of God is like what? It's like a net that was let down into the lake.
and caught all kinds of fish. Caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. But threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. You hear that? This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the furnace, the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things Jesus asked? They replied yes. And yet, again, he gives an example so that even fishermen could understand. Here he talks about those who were practicing agriculture. Then he speaks to those who are practicing fishing so that everybody should understand. He says, the net is thrown into the lake deep down to catch fish. The intention is fish. The intention is to get fish. But see, when the net goes down, it will catch all sorts of fish. Not even the intended one. How many have been at the shore and seen this kind of fishing happening? I just want to see a number of you who have seen this process. A few of you. This process is just clearly explained. When you dip the nets into the water, every fish around there, which can be caught by the size of that net, will go in and will be caught. Whether it be fish or snake, it will be caught there. Whether it be crocodile, it will be caught. You get me? All kinds of fish, they will be caught. And then the fishermen will pull and pull and pull up to the shore. There will be another process to be done. The other process will be to get the best, the good, into the vessel. And the rest will be thrown away. Go back, you're not needed. And then it is interpreted right there that this is what will happen at the end of the age. When the Son of Man comes, he will do this process of separation. He has already thrown the net. We are in the net. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we are in the net. We are in the net. What kind of fish are you? Just ask that. You are afraid to ask. Don't say that. Are you a crocodile? Don't say that one. We are in the net. God help me so that I'm a good fish. That day, he says, he will do the process, very important, of separation. That is key word. When you leave this place, remember separation. He will do the separation. The good and the bad. The good will be ushered into the kingdom of God. And the bad, I think this one we should read it. I know you don't like this. The today's culture, Christian culture, is not this. The today's Christian culture does not want to hear bad. I know. This is what I know. I know. The Christian culture today does not want to hear bad. It wants to hear prosperity, good things. Everything that you like is for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, I know. God has good things for you. But also there are bad things for the bad. Now, where do we get them when we tell them these bad things? It is here because we are mixed. Now, let the good people hear the good. Those who are bad, hear your bad things. Now, you choose. When I'm speaking, if you are good, you just close so that you don't hear these bad things. If you are bad, please open your ears and listen. This is what is said. This is what it says.
This is how it will be. Verse 49. This is how it will be. At the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers, if you really love one another, if you really love your neighbor, if you really love me, warn me. This is terrible. This is terrible. Here, generation of today, there is something bad awaiting those who rebel against God. Are you projecting it? And they throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I did some business in selling gold way back in the 80s. And maybe a little bit, yes, 80s. Now, there is fake gold and pure gold. But you get pure gold in different ways. There is that gold which you find it is already pure. But there is that gold which is mixed with some impurities. Now, each gold has to be tested through fire. Now, as we were selling, maybe you buy from these other people, you go sell. As you take this to be sold, it had to go through strong fire with acid inside. They burn it. And I remember one day I went with my brother. He had a very good piece. He said, today we are getting a lot of money. We went to the bank. Those days of Mlema, who was that time, whoever. He said, every person who has gold, go sell into the bank. To the bank. We went with my brother, my friend. We went there. We went through the process. Put his gold. When he put his gold in this fire, I tell you, it was just burning. And we are saying, what now is happening? It is just burning. And we were left with a very small piece. And he said, wameni choma. You know the meaning, wameni choma. Those who sold me this, they have really worked on me. They sold me a fake one. This morning, my friend, if you are fake, you'll be faked. There's nothing else we can do for you. If you want to be pure, it is this time. Jesus is here to purify us, to set us free from all bondage. I like what the Muhimbili Fellowship told us. I have chosen to be free. You know, Jesus sets us free. Jesus sets us free. And when you are set free, he says, you are free indeed. It's not just trying. There's some people here who keep saying, I'm still bound by a demon somewhere, a demon of what? Choose to be free indeed. In Jesus Christ, you don't keep a demon here and the Holy Spirit here. Please have the Holy Spirit here and here and here. And here and everywhere, allow the Holy Spirit to control you. There is no space for demon and the Holy Spirit. Nothing like that. There's no Christianity of that type. That is the type you get out there. They are telling you, you have a demon and you have the Spirit. You don't have that. That cannot be. You have a demon, you are demonic. You have the Spirit of God, you are spiritual. And keep it up. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me.